Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Frothy, home of the fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. We're here to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. And you're, of course, joined by me, Elle, a London-based 27-year-old writer who spends a lot of time chatting and reading about the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, whoever, question why you enjoy so much. Each week, we're going to be talking about the best bits in the world of pop culture, and this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect, and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. Hello, hello, you guys. How are we all? How's everybody doing? It is well and truly wintry around here. I think mid-November, and it's finally starting to cool down. I wake up and the house is cold. It's gloomy outside, and it's, I mean, I love the festive season, so I am excited, but it is a bit dull and a bit boring and a bit kind of moody, I think it's fair to say. But there is so much to brighten the day because the celebrities have been doing what they do best, and there is a lot to talk about this week. I mean, I think first off, we have to point out the fact that Gary Barlow, of course, published a photo of himself and his family, and his son, I can't explain how big this guy is. It looks like someone has superimposed a picture of his son from a completely different photo, you know, where scales are completely different, onto this family shot. It's the only way I can explain it. Like, he is so much taller than Gary and so much broader, and just, it doesn't look like they're in the same spot. Like, the scales don't add up, if that makes any sort of sense. The ratio of how they're built, I can't describe it any better than that. It's a hysterical picture, and with that have come some utterly wonderful memes that I will definitely be putting on the Instagram because, oh, it's just so stupid and silly and so much fun, and I think you will enjoy it too. I mean, and it's been talked about so much that even The Independent has felt the need to write a short article on it. So this is what I'm telling you, that it's not just, this isn't a niche internet thing. This is, everyone is giggling about this, and I think you should be too. And then, of course, we had the Grammy nominations published, and I am going to talk a little bit more about this later on. But really excitingly, Charlie XCX received 7 nominations, which completely backed what we were talking about last week with Brat and the importance of it and the influence of the album. And I am so excited for her. So I've got my fingers crossed. She has to have won at least one. It'd be amazing if she won all 7. I think that's probably unlikely, but I think 2 out of 7 would be really good going. So fingers crossed there. And then, of course, if you've missed it completely, the Rockefeller Christmas tree, or the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, has been selected. And it is very slowly making its way to the Rockefeller Center from its home field, I guess you could say. And I have been following this journey on TikTok. I don't know how it came across my algorithm. I've said before that for some reason my TikTok is very strongly set in Ireland and Australia. That's kind of the content I get fed. But Christmas is making a sort of side swipe here, and I am following the journey of this tree and like the family who own the field or the back garden, whatever you want to call it, where this tree was growing, and now it's obviously being cut down and driven right to Rockefeller Center. So really exciting, completely random, very wholesome. And I definitely look it up because it is a huge tree. But aside from all of that, which I realise I have just thrown a load of info at you, we have some really silly things to talk about this week and some interesting things I think it's fair to say. So let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, the silly stories that got us talking this week. Okay, you guys, if you can hear any squawking or squeaking or anything of the sort, I am incredibly sorry. I live in North London. It's full of parrots. It has been full of parrots for years. And currently my local parakeets are visiting the garden. So we've got about 8 of them arguing with each other and yelling just outside my window. So if you do hear them, I'm really sorry. Just ignore them. It's part of the soundtrack of London now. You know, parrots. Who would have thought? But they're definitely part of the garden furniture. We get used to them. And I am so sorry if they are distracting. That aside, we have to talk about Nicole Scherzinger and the absolute ruckus that she has caused over on Instagram because of a comment she left on one of Russell Brand's most recent Instagram posts. And I'm going to be honest, this is not going where you think it's going, because as we know, Russell Brand he's not the most pleasant character. He has been accused by a number of women of being a rapist. He has been accused of being emotionally and sexually abusive, and he is currently under investigation by the police for these allegations. Currently, as far as I'm aware, he's not been charged with anything, so I think it's really important to say that he is currently not being found guilty, but I think the evidence is huge and kind of overwhelming, and I suspect we all know where this is going. But that aside, Nicole's comment had absolutely nothing to do with that or his past or anything of the sort. Instead, earlier this week, Russell Brand posted a picture of himself in red hat, which looked very much like one of Trump's MAGA hats, you know, the Make America Great Again hats. They're red, they've got white broidery on. I suspect they come in other colours now, but the red is sort of the classic, if you so to speak. And Russell's a little bit different. He posted a very similar looking hat, but it was embroidered instead with the phrase, "Make Jesus Great Again." So a MAGA hat with a twist kind of thing. And in a now deleted comment, Nicole posted it underneath the picture, "Where can I get this hat?" And the internet has gone wild about it, you guys. I don't follow Russell Brand on anything. He is not my cup of tea whatsoever. But I still saw this picture so many times because everyone saw Nicole's comment and then everyone shared Nicole's comment and it was screenshot everywhere and talked about and it went viral with a capital V here. And I think the reason for that virality is it just utterly shocked people because people saw it and read it as being an announcement that Nicole was a Trump supporter. And not only that, but she was also not interested in the allegations around Russell Brand or, you know, was aware of them but wasn't interested in supporting the women who'd come out against him or in showing her belief in them, which is a huge statement to make. Whether or not she actually said it, I think there's a lot of inference here and it doesn't lend its support to Nicole. So everyone's sort of gobsmacked by it. And I think rightly so in some ways, because Nicole is not one of those celebrities who announces who she's voting for, as far as I'm aware. She is not like Jennifer Aniston or Taylor Swift or even Elon Musk. You know, she didn't come out in the most recent American election and stand with one or either candidates. Which is absolutely fair enough. That's so within her rights, you know. But we all vote anonymously. You're obviously, of course, welcome to share your vote, but there should be no expectation that you should share your vote or who you're voting for or anything like that. No one was asking her to divide her audience by saying one way or another who she was voting for. But it appeared very much like she had come out and shared that information, which is such a different direction to how everyone has seen her recently. She is having an incredibly successful year. Earlier this year, she won an Olivier Award for Best Actress in a Musical for her work in the musical Sunset Boulevard. I don't believe she's the only cast member in this show to have received quite like a prestigious award. And I've heard that it's an incredible show. I've not yet seen it. It's not in the UK. I've not been to America to see it. It's still on Broadway. But also, if you're around and you fancy going to Broadway, I'd recommend. I mean, I'm recommending it on absolutely no solid ground here, guys, apart from the awards. But I'd go and give it a go if you're able to. And alongside that, she is also rumoured to be nominated for a 2025 Tony Award. Now, that's not been confirmed. We won't hear about the 2025 Tony nominations until I think about April next year. So we've got some while, but the rumours have already started. And the way those nominations work is that, and I had to look this up, guys, because I wasn't aware myself, but basically the Tony Committee are made up by theatre professionals who were chosen to serve on the committee for between 1 and 3 theatre seasons. The idea being that the committee changes year on year, so there's no 2 years have the same committee, and therefore it's very much, I think that makes it as honest as it can be in terms of nomination. You can't really buy a vote, you can't really form alliances or try and sway any nomination, anything like that, because it's such a new committee each time. And with that, every committee member has to see every show that is running on Broadway. From there, they then nominate a sort of a long list. They then vote on that long list to create a short list that they then share with like the general public. So that's what we will see when we see the Tony nominations. And I imagine that's in the process of happening right now. So people will be going to see these shows, and therefore everyone's Tony nomination is sort of like up in the air still, if that makes sense. And there's no way Nicole and her team won't have heard about these rumours. Which makes it really interesting that on Friday, so in terms of recording, that's yesterday, she took to Instagram to apologise to fans about the comment, and she has also deleted the comment from underneath the photo. I'm going to quote directly from her apology because I think it's important to hear her words here. And she said, "When I commented on these posts, I made the mistake of not realising that they could be easily interpreted as being politically related, and I apologise to anyone who understandably reached the conclusion. Many presumptions are being drawn which do not reflect who I am, what I stand for, or who I voted for. Many of the marginalised communities feeling hurt and concerned by the results of the presidential election are people I care about. I stand with them. I always have, throughout my life and career. If you know me, you know that." And look, I don't know if she was trying to show political persuasion and then panicked about the backlash, or she was genuinely just being a little bit thoughtless and hadn't really put 2 and 2 together in terms of Russell Brand, the style of the hats, and the kind of joke behind it. I can see both being possible, but I think in reality, the action of deleting the comment and the apology has definitely been fueled by a fear from her team or from herself that she is wrecking her career because of the divide and the uproar she has caused. I think her publicist, no matter what the reason behind the comment was, will have been absolutely panicking. You just would be, because it's, you know, the Tony is within your grasp, and then there's a real chance that over the course of maybe 4 seconds that it took to write the comment and press post, that has completely vanished. I don't know why she posted it. I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think necessarily it's our right to know. You know, you can keep your political persuasions private if you want to. Yes, she's a public figure, but I don't think that gives us the right to know who she's voting for. But I think it will have rocked the boat in terms of nominations. If we're going to be really sort of, if we're going to dumb it down, you know, I think based on stereotypes alone, the theatre world and creatives as a whole is a place where you can be yourself and you can share your emotions and bring your life experiences, and you don't have to hide any part of yourself, and it's a very welcoming, opening environment. And a lot of their beliefs and their values, I think it's fair to say, aren't shared by Trump supporters, and there's not a lot of overlapping there. So to come out and sort of suggest that, yes, while I work in that creative theatre world, I'm actually a supporter of people who actually dislike and hate a lot of those values, you shoot yourself in the foot. You are absolutely burning those bridges between yourself and the theatre world, and therefore in this case wrecking a career. So I think that was the reason behind the deleted post. Whether or not it has any impact on if she's nominated or not, I have no idea. She obviously is a phenomenal lead in this show, and we've seen that from her Olivier Award. So we shall see. I'm really interested. Let me know what you think. Do you think she's in with a child? Do you think she shot herself in the foot? Or do you think they don't care and they've not even thought about nominations yet? I'll be keeping a beady eye on that nomination list as and when it is published. And then something a little different but completely inspiring, and that is that the Grammy nominations have been announced and the women are dominating. So these are the Grammys for 2025. And female artists have just, they've swept the nominations, and I think that's so cool. It's actually only female artist nominated in the category for Best Duo or Group Performance and in the category for Best Pop Vocal Album. And I'll be honest, guys, the Best Pop Vocal Album category, there were some heavy hitters in there. Like, I don't know, I can't call it. We've got Short and Sweet by Sabrina Carpenter, Hit Me Hard and Soft by Billie Eilish, Eternal Sunshine, of course, Ariana Grande, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, which was Chappell Roan's album, and of course, Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department. Now, I'm going to be honest, I am a Swiftie. I grew up being a Swiftie. I think she is one of the best lyricists of our generation. I think maybe only rivaled by Billie Eilish and her brother. That being said, The Tortured Poets Department hasn't been my favourite album from her. It's definitely growing on me, and I think it's definitely an insane work of art. I think there's no denying that. She is incredibly talented, as we know. But out of those five, it's not got my vote. I don't know who has my vote. Maybe Chappell Roan. I do love what she's done, but Sabrina Carpenter has just... she's phenomenal as well. So I think it's fair to say I don't know who I'm voting for. If, you know, well, you know, I say this like I'm picking the Grammy winner. Obviously I'm not. But I think it's an incredibly hard ask this year. I think anyone who loses in that category, I mean, I take my hat off to you, at least you got nominated. I think they're all excellent albums to lose to, if that makes any sort of sense. On a completely sort of self-centered note again, one of my favourite songs of the year was also nominated under the Best Duo or Group category, and that is Guess by Charlie XCX and Billie Eilish. Not only is it just a really fun, sexy, flirty song, it is also got such a little bop sort of beat to it. I parked my car and walked to the station, and I swear to God, I've been listening to this song on repeat, and I'm convinced I've shaved a minute or two of my time from the walk, because I am powering along to the song. If you've not heard it yet, look it up. It's iconic. I think you will also be listening to it on repeat though. I love it. And I think again, it sort of shows the quality of music produced this year, because there's a song by Taylor Swift and Gracie Abrams, also up in the same category. It's titled Us. It's also a really lovely song, whilst deserving of the nomination. But I don't think it's who I'd be fronting to win either. So despite my unswerving loyalty to Taylor Swift, I'm actually sort of saying she doesn't deserve the win in two of these categories now. Maybe I'm not as diehard Taylor as I should be. I don't know. But yeah, interesting nonetheless. And then, of course, in both Album of the Year and Record of the Year, female artists have taken 6 of the 8 nominations in both of those spots. So again, female artists dominating the entire time. Incredible. I take my hat off to them all. They work so hard. I'm so excited about it. But the queen bee of it all, no pun intended, is of course Beyoncé, who, guys, I kid you not, has received 11 nominations this year, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year. It's the highest number of nominations not only this year, but it also makes her the Grammy's most nominated female artist in the entire history of the Grammys, which I think is like 67 years or close to. It takes her to 99 nominations across her career, which is just utterly like insane. And what's mad is that apparently her and Jay-Z previously tied with 88 nominations each. So she's now, you know, she's left him in the dust, guys. He is ancient history. Or was he joking? But I'm so impressed, and I think it's an extra big deal here because obviously her most recent album, Cowboy Carter, was presented as a country album but wasn't nominated for any awards at the Country Music Association Awards earlier this year, which was like a real like snub and got a lot of conversation. I think it's tricky because the album has a variety of genres on it. There's country, but there's also rock and gospel and hip-hop and opera. And maybe they just felt that it wasn't country enough to sort of be up there for the nominations for the Music Awards. I don't know. It's not an awards show I know an awful lot about. But I think interesting nonetheless, especially because, you know, I mean, she released the album in March of this year. And with that album, became the first Black woman to have the number one spot on the Billboard's Top Country Albums chart. And I think collaborators of her on the album went on to be nominated for other country awards. So people obviously recognised that the talent she was using and the impact it had and the influence it had, but for whatever reason, she didn't receive any nominations. So coming in and swooping 11 on the Grammys. It's a comeback I think she well and truly deserves. I really hope she wins a fair few of them, because I think to have poured your heart and soul into something and it be snubbed by the people you sort of made it, not for, but made it with them in mind, that's got to sting. I think no matter how successful you are, that's got to sting. And then, of course, as I said at the top of the episode, Charlie XCX isn't far behind her with 7 nominations herself, which I think, as I said, shows the absolute impact of Bratz and the talent of Charlie. So I take my hat off to her. I take my hat off to all of them. I'd be really interested to hear what you have to say about this and who you think is going to swoop which awards. Because I think, as I said, competition is fierce and I kind of love that. And then finally, something completely silly and ridiculous, and that is that I have seen a growing number of people talking online about Shawn Mendes and him, and I'm quoting here, coming out as gay. And I didn't know what to make of this because I hadn't seen this anywhere official. So I went and had a little dig. And what it seems to be is that people have completely misunderstood, or you know how the gossip train works. Starts as fact. 3 people down the line, it's no longer anything like what it was. But basically what seems to have happened is that in late October, he had a sort of showing for friends and family during his tour. And during that showing, he basically talked about sexuality, discussed the fact that his sexuality is often the topic of interviews and online gossip, especially because in the past he has been accused of queerbaiting. And he very much said like nothing while saying something, if you know what I mean. But he basically said that he, and I'm quoting here from, and I will admit guys, it's a Daily Mail article, so take it all with a pinch of salt. But he said, I think sexuality is such a beautifully complex thing and it's so hard to just put into boxes. It always felt like such an intrusion on something very personal to me, something that I was figuring out in myself, something that I had yet to discover and still have yet to discover it. The real truth about my life and my sexuality is that, man, I'm just still figuring it out like everyone. So again, he said nothing while saying something. I think he's tried to sort of push those gossip and rumours back. He's not come out as saying one way or the other which way he swings. He doesn't need to. It's none of our business. I can't stress that enough. And if you do see anyone talking about it, you now have the power, guys, to correct them and say, whoa, well, I don't think that's quite right. That's not what he said. And you can point to me or you can point to this Daily Mail article. Something silly, something small. But if you see the gossip, it's not quite true, I don't believe. And I think we should wait for him to say something one way or the other, if he would like to, before we talk about it any further. And then up next, we have Popped a Pin, which is something I've shallow dived this week and I'm hoping to come back to over the weekend or, you know, next week, whenever it may be. As we talked about last week, it's something that maybe a few of you would like me to revisit the following week to talk about it a little bit more. And I can definitely do that. Although, as I said, I can't do it with last week's topic because that is the most slow-moving business ever. Instead, this week's Popped a Pin is Real Lives of Mormon Wives over on Disney. I definitely remember debating whether or not to have this as a recommendation or a Popped a Pin a couple of episodes back, I think when it first was released. I can't remember if I talked about it or not. So I'm going to talk about it again, and if I'm repeating myself, I am incredibly sorry. I started this when it first came out and I didn't finish it. Life got busy, I got distracted, but I have come back to it and I am loving it. You guys, it is, it's so good. And I'm not normally a reality TV kind of person, but this is, it's just a world that is so different to my own. It blows my mind. I think what blows my mind more so is that so many of the women involved are like my age and I am not married. I have no plans to get married anytime soon. I don't have babies either, and I am not religious. So completely different. And I don't know what they've put in the show, but I am on tenterhooks every time an episode finishes, looking forward to the next one. I have started again from the beginning because I couldn't quite remember where I got to. And it's just as good on a rewatch, guys. I really hope they have a season 2. It's become my dirty little secret. And I have popped a pin in it because I do get phenomenally distracted and frothy has to come first. So the pin has been popped, but it will be unpopped very soon because I am obsessed. And if you are too, then welcome to the obsession. But if you're not, please join the train because it is juicy. And as promised, I will come back next week and tell you my favourite. I think I'm going to sort of tell you a few of my favourite bits, but I'm not going to spoil anything, I'm not going to ruin anything, because there's no fun in that. And then, of course, recommendations. And the first one is a little bit, I think it sounds more expensive than it actually is, so bear with me here. And that is Lush shampoo bars, or shampoo bars in general. I moved over to shampoo bars from like bottled shampoo back in 2019. Because I got one for Christmas, I believe, or a gift. I can't quite remember now. And I love it. I have used like shampoo bars almost exclusively since then. I haven't bought myself a bottle of shampoo since then. It's always been Lush shampoo bars. I have tried other brands. They don't all love my hair, or my hair doesn't all love them. So it's a bit of trial and error. But I know where I stand with Lush and their hair care products. My hair likes them. I have quite greasy hair, and I haven't had any issues with them. So if you're also a greasy haired gal, then I'd recommend Lush. What I would say is that they are £9 a bar, and the bars don't look particularly big. So it's a, I can understand why sort of people are thinking, well, why on earth would I buy, would I spend £9 at a shampoo bar when I can buy a cheap and cheerful bottle of shampoo for, I don't know, £3, maybe slightly less. And I hear you, I really, really do. And I'm not going to come at the side of it's better for the environment, there's no plastic in it, etc., etc., because everyone knows that, and I think we're all doing our best when it comes to plastic. And I mean, it's why I made the change, but it doesn't apply to everybody. It's not helpful for everybody. So I'm not going to harp on about the green elements of a shampoo bar. But what I would say is that recently I have been using a bottle of shampoo, because again, I couldn't justify £9 at the time for a shampoo bar. So I was using the sort of guest shampoo, I guess you could call it. But I have been paid, and I have been able to buy myself a shampoo bar. And I hadn't realised how much better my hair is with a shampoo bar compared to, and I will be honest, cheap and cheerful shampoo. So maybe if you're buying a more expensive bottle, this won't apply. But if you are in the world of hair care and you're looking at changing up your shampoo, I cannot recommend it enough. My hair is healthier, for sure. It feels nicer. It stays non-greasy for longer. And I have really quite long hair. I think it'll last me 2.5, maybe 3 months. I do wash my hair max 3 times a week. There is that to consider as well. But if you are interested in trying something new, I cannot recommend it enough. If you can make the jump with £9, then I would definitely recommend it. If you can't, but you would like to try it, I don't know, the festive season is creeping up. Maybe you could ask for someone to splurge on you. Let me know. But I recommend it. I don't think I'll be going back to bottled shampoo again ever, unless I'm in a pinch, which, let's be honest, could be any month. And then my other recommendation is something incredibly stupid and so silly, and I know I recommended an interview clip last week, guys, but I have another one, and this one is even better. You have to watch it. And this is Olivia Colman receiving a Blue Peter badge at her Blue Peter interview. If you don't know what Blue Peter is, it's a kids TV show here in the UK. It's on CBBC, and it's not sort of a fiction TV show, that it makes any sort of sense. There are presenters, they do interviews, they do challenges. It's quite an educational show, but it's still really fun. It's really popular with young people. And they often have very young presenters. They have a little Blue Peter studio. They have the Blue Peter garden. They often have lots of pets. It's a show for kids that has a sort of slightly grown-up feel. But if you do certain challenges or you do something special, you get a Blue Peter badge. And Blue Peter's been running for years and years and years. And Olivia Colman received one the other day because she did an interview on the show. And her level of excitement is, I have never seen someone so excited in a press interview ever. It's adorable. I love it. She explains that, you know, as a child, she used to write into these competitions and she never got a badge. And so it's definitely fulfilled some sort of childhood dream. And honestly, my day was brighter after watching it. I am smiling thinking about it. So if you're looking for something wholesome and silly and short and, like, you know, it doesn't eat up too much of your time, give it a watch, because it's a beautiful piece of film. As always, guys, if you got this far, thank you so much. It is a small independent podcast, although you listen from all over the world. So hello and thank you. It's lovely to have you. If you would like to be the first to know when next week's episode drops, please subscribe or give it a follow depending on what platform you're on. We go every Sunday, so you know, you'll know either way, but I look forward to that subscribe. And if you would like to see more of the kind of nonsense and the silliness and the kind of random stuff I also put out on the internet, then you can follow us on TikTok or on Instagram. And I hope to see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Have a lovely week. Bye.